Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. It's been a long time, Jim, since I looked forward to a draft this much for many different reasons. The Vikings have been a lot of the talk. What are they going to do? But then it's finally here. I don't know when the last time I talked about the draft this much in the months leading up to it as a Vikings fan. So I'm glad it's finally here.
Yeah, it's a fascinating thing for someone who started covering the NFL in 1989. And the draft was like this minor blip on the
right.
on the NFL calendar. And there was one draft analyst. His name is Joel Buchbaum. And I would mail him a check, and he'd send me his pamphlet, and that was about it. You know, I remember covering the 1990 draft after the Herschel Walker trade. It was like me, a guy from the St. Paul paper, Associated Press, and Jerry Reichow and Frank Gilliam basically came down after the first pick, which is like third or fourth round or whatever, and said, "Eh, this guy might be able to play," and went back upstairs. That was it. That was all there was. It was a bag of chips, you know? The NFL has shrewdly realized that their fans want information, propaganda, hype, activity 12 months of the year, and now draft season is about 6 months long, and they've capitalized on that. As you said, this is a little different because this is one of the most important drafts in Vikings history.
Yep.
This is a franchise that hasn't had a number one draft pick hit in 60 years at the quarterback position.
Right, right.
They have two high draft picks. They have a chance to trade up to get a good quarterback, at least we think a good quarterback. There are six guys you can like for one reason or another as first rounders. This is really important. It's really fascinating. And here we are a few hours from the draft. We still don't know what's going to happen.
I think we're going to get to that third pick at New England, which, by the way, your guy Ben Gessling has said the Vikings might try to get into that spot. We won't know what the Vikings are going to do until then. For me, I feel like it would be hard for the Patriots to trade out of that spot, but you never know. And then it's 4 and 5 also seem in play. There's a lot of things going to happen right in there.
Yes, and what we don't know, after all this speculation, all the reporting, everything else, a million mock drafts, we don't know whether the Patriots really like Drake May or not, or really like J.J. McCarthy or not. If the Patriots' internal evaluation is that Drake May is not worthy of the third pick in the draft, then they absolutely should trade out of there. And so, you know, there are really three consensus around I would throw out there. One is, listen, Ben, I think, has good sources in the organization. If he's suggesting a potential trade of the Patriots, that's not coming out of thin air. That means that the Vikings actually would like to try to make that happen if the price is reasonable. And if they didn't go up that high, they'd be going up to get Drake May, not J.J. McCarthy. Consensus two, the median respected mock drafter right now is predicting the Vikings will trade to the fifth pick and take J.J. McCarthy. That's kind of the median view around the country. And then there's my view, which is I don't think these guys are worth trading the farm for, so try to either stay at 11 and get Penix or Nix, or maybe trade up a couple spots to get one of those guys. I think I'm in the minority, but that's my thought on it.
You know, it is interesting. Like Mark Craig, he has the Vikings moving up to 5 and making a trade there. Did you hear about the rumors here in the last week or so about it seemed a little wild that Jim Harbaugh loves J.J. McCarthy so much that he might try and bring him in as his quarterback and take him at 5, and then he might actually trade Herbert to the Vikings in some way? Have you heard that one?
Bonkers.
Yeah.
Absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
You know, Harbaugh's got his quarterback, and he's got his quarterback, and they just signed Herbert to a huge deal that basically prevents them from being able to trade him. If they traded Herbert, they would be without a great young quarterback, and they'd still be paying the price for the great young quarterback. It's like the dumbest thing I can even think of. I think Harbaugh wants people to believe that he might do that. I think it's just nonsense. I think it's just the kind of nonsense that gets thrown around. It makes no sense to me.
They asked him about it. He kind of laughed about it. He just laughed it off. So, that seemed crazy to me, too. But some friend of mine sent me an article. I can't remember who it was written by, that they were speculating on that. But it did seem crazy. So who knows what they'll have to get up to get that pick. Your guy Chip Scoggins says, don't worry. You know, it'll be fine. I know that maybe you're a little more reluctant in terms of that to go ahead and do that, but your guy Chip seems optimistic about that happening.
Well, I mean, it really but the important thing is, the important thing here is what nobody really talks about, which is your real, you know, the real value of that player. So if you trade for Drake May and he becomes a star, then yeah, nobody's going to care what you paid for him. If you trade for J.J. McCarthy and he becomes a star, nobody's going to care what you gave for him. If you trade the farm and those guys aren't stars, if they're either game managers or they're failures or they're complete busts, then you've set the franchise back dramatically by trading up to get them. So what really matters is the quality of the quarterback once he gets to the NFL, and that's something none of us really knows.
And the risk tolerance for the guys making the decision.
Yeah.
If they trade up and it busts, they're out of a job. So nobody has more on the line than those guys, and nobody's more informed than they are about the caliber of these quarterbacks.
All true. And the problem is we're dealing with human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw it with Rick Spielman and Christian Ponder. That is such a great example of how this works.
Yep.
They, you know, Christian Ponder was probably worth a second, third, fourth round draft pick. They desperately needed a quarterback at the time. They thought a good quarterback would set them up to be big winners. They meet Christian Ponder. He's very intelligent. He says all the right things. He's fun to be around. He seems to have leadership skills. And they start talking themselves into loving him. Mm-hmm. That's the danger. The danger is that human beings are in play here, and human beings don't always think rationally. They allow themselves to believe things that they basically overproject on young quarterbacks. And, you know, there's six potential first round quarterbacks, and we all know the deal. Most likely, two are going to be very good, two are going to be busts, and two of them are going to be embarrassing busts. I mean, that's that's kind of the breakdown. So we just don't know which ones, and it's up to them to figure it out. But human beings are not very good at predicting the future.
that's true, no doubt about that. So anyway, fascinating tonight, and we'll have a lot to talk about the draft coming up tomorrow as well. The Celtics get beat by the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler last night, and they kind of took it to him toward the end of the game especially. The Celtics have been terrific at home in the regular season, but in the playoffs, not so much at home. That's a tough loss for the Seas last night.
Yeah, I still think they win the series, but it kind of points out a couple of things that we think we already knew. Number one, there seems to be something missing with the Celtics. Mm-hmm. They've been very good for a long time. They have star power. They have a great lineup. They can do pretty much everything you want them to do, but nobody trusts them.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Heat, they're so well coached. They play so hard that they give themselves a chance. And yesterday, 23 of 43 from the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's without Jimmy Butler. So, listen, I think it's probably a one-off.
Yeah.
I would guess Celtics will win this in five or six games. But
sure.
It fit the narrative about both teams, though.
Yeah. A puncher's chance. If you can make threes, you've always got a chance, it seems, in the NBA. And they certainly did that last night. And then Oklahoma City was really impressive. Now the Pelicans are diminished, obviously, without Zion. But the Thunder look good. They haven't really been getting that much respect either in the West. But, boy, they were terrific last night.
All year and into the playoffs, it feels like what everybody's been saying about them, and I'm guilty of this too, is, oh, what a great story, what a nice team. But nobody ever goes, oh, and they're going to be really hard to beat in the playoffs, or they're going to go a long way. It's like nobody has kind of taken everything they've done so well this year and said, oh, well, this indicates that they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs. But, man, they just play great basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And Gilgeous Alexander is just an amazing, amazing player, shot maker, shot creator for his teammates. They move the ball so efficiently. They score so easily. You know, I think that's the thing. They score so easily. And I think most of us look at it and say, okay, yeah, wait until they run into a good defensive team in the playoffs. But I don't know. Maybe the Wolves are the only team that would really shut them down or even have a chance to shut them down.
Yeah. Game three for the Wolves tomorrow in Phoenix. Naz Reid wins sixth man of the year. I thought I heard that he's the first undrafted player to win that award.
I think that's right, and I was just at a press conference, and, you know, this is a very likable group.
Yeah.
The players, there are no jerks in that locker room. That hardly ever happens in professional sports, or especially in the NBA. Connolly's a nice guy. Finch is a wonderful guy. The assistant coaches are down to earth. And so it was really cool to see that, like, all those people get together and celebrate at that press conference and get up on the stage and hug Nas. It's a really endearing story.
Yeah, very good. Jim, thanks so much.
Great. Thanks, Don.
Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.